Welcome to Herb W. Morgan's Slaying Bulls and Bears, a podcast about economics, markets, investing, politics, and profit. Every Monday, in less than 20 minutes, Wall Street portfolio manager Herb W. Morgan distills the complex and complicated into the simple and sensical. Here's Herb now.
Good morning, everybody. It's me, Herb Morgan, Senior Managing Director and Chief Investment Officer at Cantor Fitzgerald Managed ETF Portfolios. This is my weekly economic and market commentary. The presentation has been prepared by Cantor Fitzgerald Investment Advisors, i.e. me, sitting at my desk, for use with investors and financial advisors, but each are expected to make their own investment decision. Nothing in this presentation should be treated as investment advice. There are no recommendations for the purchase or sale of any securities. The information contained herein is purely for informational purposes. Well, another good week. We just keep having these good weeks in equity prices, equity returns, fixed income returns, in this case, alternative investment returns. Just another positive week at a time when we know we've got plenty of things to worry about, right? We've got election and the election uncertainty. And if your favorite candidate doesn't win, it's the end of the world. And if my favorite candidate doesn't win, it's the end of the world. We've got the Tax Cut and Jobs Act of 2017 expiring for the most part. Most of the provisions expire next year, 2025. We've got stubborn, very stubborn inflation. We've got significant geopolitical unrest in Israel and in Eastern Europe. And yet the markets keep trudging higher. Why? Because in the end, it's about earnings. And earnings this quarter came in strong again. We'll get to the final or near final numbers here as we progress. Year-to-date numbers look pretty good, exception of fixed income, and that's because the bottom line is bonds have come down a little bit as interest rates have gone up. Why have interest rates gone up? Just its expectations that the Fed won't be cutting as early or as soon as people thought at the beginning of the year. So the fixed income market's adjusted, and so what? The aggregate bond index is down 2%. Don't forget, with bonds, there is that coupon, those interest payments. Economic data last week, as I told you it would be, was very, very light. What we got? We got consumer credit for the month of March. It was expected to be up $15 billion. It was only up $6 billion. Could be a sign that consumers are a little less optimistic about borrowing, given that we have had higher interest rates for longer. Originally, you know, when interest rates were maybe a little lower and they started to go up, they thought, well, it'll be high for a while, it'll go up, it'll come down. But now that they see them staying higher for a little longer, they're less willing to borrow. That should help to slow the economy a little bit, and it should provide some disinflationary tailwinds for those that are looking at the inflation numbers. Revolving credit up about $152 million. Then on Thursday, that's how little economic data we got. I'm already up to Thursday. Initial claims for unemployment, the weekly report that's been at this 200,000 level with an occasional little bump here and there for about 2.5 years, kicked up and surprised us, jumped from 209 to 231. The estimate was for 212. But New York City schools were on a break April 22nd through April 30th. Herb, why would that have to do? What would that possibly have to do with unemployment claims, initial claims for unemployment? Well, in the New York City public school system, school workers, not teachers, but things like custodians, bus drivers, cafeteria, other non-teacher workers are allowed to apply for and receive unemployment insurance benefits during the kids' breaks. This is true. So the spike was known and expected, and the market shrugged it off. Continuing claims for unemployment also remained pretty low at 1.8 million for continuing claims. Here's the more bad news. The University of Michigan's consumer sentiment reading really fell. The estimate was for 76.2. It was expected to be slightly below a kind of a weak level. We've been at this 75 to 80 level here, you can see, for 4 or 5 months. And that's not a very good level. Consumers aren't feeling particularly good. Why? Because of inflation, food prices and energy prices in particular. And you can see prior to the recession, the COVID recession, We were in this sort of 80 to 100 range. The consumer was feeling really quite good. We've been hitting a ceiling at 80, and then bam, really fell off last week. Fell from 77.2 to 67.4 in the month of May. Current conditions dropped, expectations dropped. This really has everything to do with inflationary pressures, unfortunately, because it's not jobs, right? We know, we've seen the JOLTS numbers. We see the low weekly claims for unemployment. Everything's been pretty good. That was it in terms of economic data. A couple of other things I think you might find interesting. As you know, I've taken a position in Chinese equities, and I feel that we're probably getting closer to the beginning of a rally. And so I found some data to support my thesis. I found a graph or a chart from the folks at Macro Charts, their article this week, Something Incredible is Happening in China. And what they point out is looking at short interest in the iShares China Large Cap ETF, a big core macro ETF that invests in China. When short interest spikes and gets to this right around this 50% level, which is pretty high, they say it usually signals a rally to come because pessimism has peaked. As pessimism begins to wane, theoretically, you get a rally in those equities. Well, last time you can see, go back here to 2016, we had more than 50% short interest and then a subsequent significant rally. Couple of little above 50%, a subsequent rally. Go to 2020, really, you can see that, and then a rally. And then we've had this long sell-off and long consolidation for about 4 years. And as you know, they went through COVID, very strict lockdowns, et cetera. But perhaps this is just another indicator that suggests that maybe we're going to start seeing some bigger moves. We have had a move this year, obviously, out of China, but perhaps there's more to come. On the other hand, switching back to the not so exciting news, this graph is this blue line going up and to the right is the U.S. leading economic index put out by folks at the Conference Board, sourced from Bloomberg Terminal and the Conference Board. And what you can see here that I've identified is drops in the leading index. There's an 11% drop. There's a 10% drop. There's another 11. And you can see that these drops have historically, this goes back all the way back to 1960, have historically preceded a red bar. What is the red bar? The red bar marks a U.S. recession. All of these recessions were demand recessions, where aggregate demand contracted in the economy. This thin red bar here was a supply side recession, the one and only one that we've had. During COVID, we did not have a lack of aggregate demand in the economy. We restricted supply. We kept people home to prevent the spread of a disease. And you could see there was about a 7% drop in the indicators, short recession, run back up. And now, though, we've had a pretty significant, looks like about a 13% drop in the leading economic index. And so while we don't want a recession, it really does help those that are hoping for more disinflationary data, looking for disinflationary data, which means then the Fed would be all set to end up with some sort of an interest rate cut later this year, which is what a lot of folks clearly want to see happen. We've just about wound up the earnings season. 459 out of 500 names have reported. 361 of those have beat. 78 failed or fell short. Average earnings surprise about 8.4%. You know, if you back out energy, which we kind of want those earnings lower, it means prices have come down or at least stopped going up. And then you really look through by some of the sectors. Look at consumer discretionary. Just a solid, solid number. Healthcare is really solid. Communications, solid 10%. Technology, 5%, but okay. That's all good there. And then, of course, you take a look at the S&P 500 itself. And this is a very sort of simplistic or basic chart. S&P 500 going back here to pre-COVID. That's the COVID sell-off. There's the bottoming at around 2150 or so. Big rally, long time above that 200-day moving average. Little consolidation in 2022, 2023, big run-up back to the, off to the races. And then here we are at 24 up again. Kind of a big gap above that 200-day moving average. But I look down here at this RSI, or Relative Strength Index. Doesn't really put the market overvalued or overbought, I should say. We're talking technical analysis. Doesn't really put it overbought. It's just humming along, and with earnings being great and not a lot of economic data last week, and really not a ton of major importance this week other than CPI and PPI. But speaking of that, let's just go ahead and get right into it. Nothing big today on Monday. Small business optimism on Tuesday. Producer price index. So expected to be up 0.3% on the month. And the core year-over-year number expected to be up 2.3%. So the monthly is expected to accelerate over the prior month, which would be March. But the core expected to go down 0.1% from March. And that's the key. We want to see that year over year get closer and closer and closer down to that 2% number. New York State manufacturing was negative last month. It's expected to be negative again. Then the big one, the CPI. The markets are expecting it to come from 3.8, that's core, down to 3.6 year over year. And the monthly expected to stay the same at about 0.4. If it's worse than that, I think you could see a sell-off in the markets. If it's better than that, you could see a big rally in the markets. Everything else is important, but not important, if you know what I mean. Retail sales expected up 0.4. Business inventories flat. Housing barely positive. Weekly claims coming off that 231 expected to be back down at 219. Housing starts and permits, Philly Fed, import-export prices, industrial production, and capacity utilization. Nothing big expected on Friday. I also want to say thank you to everybody who's subscribed to this YouTube channel, because we're now doing this on a YouTube channel. And we started maybe a month ago, and I think the first week there was 100 or 200 people watched it, and then it jumped to 300, and then it jumped to 750. And as of last night, I haven't even checked this morning, but we were over 7,500 last week. So thanks everybody who's watching, subscribing, click the subscribe button, forward, retweet, twist, whatever, all that stuff. We really appreciate it. It's nice to know that people are listening. And then as always, you can contact me with questions, comments, herb.morgan@cantor.com, herb.morgan@cantor.com. Thanks, and I'll be back again next week.
Thank you for listening to Slaying Bulls and Bears. If you'd like to download the slides for this week's podcast, go to www.efficient-portfolios.com and join our mailing list. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, rate us online, and share with a friend if you found this helpful. See you next week.